We read this entire chapter last Sunday. Told you that it was the text for last week as well as the text for today's message. I'm going to have us begin reading with verse number 9 through verse 21. Reduce our reading just a little bit because of the pressures of time that are upon us this day. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil of good. We've been looking at the subject of peace for a few weeks now. First thought and the first message had to do with our coming in to the house of the Lord, our coming and assembling ourselves together. Had to do with our coming together, seeking the blessing of the Lord, coming together for the right reason, coming together to hear the Lord say to us, peace, peace. And we look second of all upon the fact that all men are sinners, making them the enemy of God, at enmity with God. But peace is available to those who are the enemies of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here and you're lost, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've never been saved, born again, you're the enemy of God, and God is your enemy. You're at war with Him. And that great struggle, I think, is felt inside of many people. And if you're here and you want to have peace with God, and you want that struggle and that great battle to cease within you, receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. He will reconcile you to God. He will declare peace between you and God. And He'll save anybody. And He'll save everybody that'll come to Him by Jesus Christ. Last week we had a more general thought of peace with people, peace between one another, and all that the passage of Scripture before us teaches us about what we need to do to have peace with each other and maintain peace with each other. That 18th verse says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Live peaceably with all men. There are several, many actually, points made in this chapter that must be observed to have peace one with another. But today we come back to this 18th verse. And the thought that the Lord has laid upon our heart is inner peace. Inner peace with impossible people. Inner peace with impossible people. Verse number 18 tells us that we have a duty to live peaceably. To live peaceably. That 18th verse also tells us the extent of that duty. We're to live peaceably with all men. And then we find in that 18th verse that there is a double restriction. There is a double limitation. We're to live peaceably. We're to live peaceably with all men. But that's if it be possible. If it be possible. And the second limitation is as much as lieth within us. As much as lieth within us. The same God who speaks the word, with him is all things possible, speaks to us in this 18th verse, if it be possible. If it is within you, live peaceably with all men. And this 18th verse teaches us that there are those that make peace impossible. There are those with whom we will never have peace. There are those where it is not and never will be possible for us to have peace with them. There are those who make having peace most difficult. Most difficult. And this passage of Scripture, I believe, is teaching us that there are those with whom peace is impossible. There are those with whom peace and having peace with them is difficult. But let us do our best to have peace with them. Let us do our best in seeking peace so that we might have a clear conscience. By having that clear conscience, we might have inner peace regarding the impossible ones. I don't know how to put it other than to tell you there are people that God brings into our life. There are people that are part of our life that we will never have peace with. It's an impossibility described for us by Scripture. What do we do in those cases where we'll never have peace with this one? We'll never experience peace between us and that one. What we do is we do our best in seeking peace with them. And then when it is appropriate, come to the place where we give it up to the Lord and over to the Lord. And with a clear conscience, we have inner peace, knowing we've done our best. Knowing there's nothing else we can do. Knowing that we're never going to have peace with them. And that's in God's hands. And that's God's business. Jesus taught concerning this a few times throughout the Gospels. Matthew chapter 10, one place. We'll turn there. Matthew chapter 10. Verse 34 through 36, words in red, Christ speaking. Matthew 10, verse 34, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Jesus declares there are those who we're never going to have peace with them. It is designed, if you would, by His coming and by His working and by His loving some and not loving others, saving some and not saving others. It is by His design that He came not to bring peace to everyone, but He came to bring a sword. Jesus acknowledges that there are those who we're never going to have peace with. There are those who, by our being Christians, will be our enemy, will be a foe against us. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, the Apostle Paul, three different places in his two epistles to Timothy, touches on this subject. 2 Timothy 4, verse 9. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And to Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee. And the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. And then in verse number 15, Paul says, of whom be thou ware also? Be wary of him. Because he's one of those that obviously we can't have peace with, though we try. He's one of those who maybe can't have peace with anyone. So be wary of him. In chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, verse 17 and 18. Well, let's read verse 16 too. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker or a cancer, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. He mentions two individuals who concerning the truth have erred. He plainly identifies them back in 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. First Timothy 1, verse number 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, and thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. A couple of these overlap. But in three places of the two epistles to Timothy, Paul identifies those that there could not be peace with, commits them or turns them over to the Lord to deal with them, because there's nothing more he could have done or could do in relationship to having peace with them. So there are people all around us. There are people in our circles of influence. There are people, maybe even in our own families, that we just can't have peace with. We're never going to have peace with. And our responsibility is to make sure we have inner peace. The peace of God ruling and reigning within us. The peace of God exercised in our day-to-day life. The peace of God demonstrated by our acknowledging that there are those who are like this, giving them over to the Lord. We come into the house of the Lord. We come to worship. We assemble together as one body in Christ to worship in spirit and in truth. We come together not because we have to. We come together not because it's a sin if we don't, though those things are true. We come together to be blessed of the Lord. Amen. We come together away from the world to be encouraged, have our spirits lifted in this time of war and strife and difficulty, perilous times in which we're living. We come into the house of the Lord to hear Him say, peace. Do you come to God's house with that? With that desire, with that in mind, did you come here this morning wanting to hear Jesus say, peace, it's okay. It's been a rough week, but it's okay. Things are bad and things are going to get worse, but it's okay. The world's going to come to an end, but it's okay because I'm in control. Peace, be at peace. He would have us once again to remind you who are lost that peace is available. Don't think you have it. Don't let anybody convince you you have it. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, we're all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. There is no peace with God except through Jesus Christ. Without seeing yourself as a sinner, without repenting of your sins and believing that Jesus Christ died for your sins, you're never going to have peace with God. But the message in 2023 is the same message it's been for over 2,000 years. Jesus Christ died to save sinners. He died to bring peace between men and Himself. And you can have peace with God by receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. And we need to have peace with each other. Peace between us and our fellow man. Peace between us and our brothers and sisters in Christ. The charge there, that 18th verse, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. I think that's a very broad statement. I believe it's talking about the saved. It's talking about the lost. It's talking about the people in the church, people outside the church. It's talking about all men everywhere. As much as possible, we're to live at peace with them. As much as possible, we are to live at peace with each other. But there are those who it will not be possible. There are those within us lies not that which is necessary for us to have peace. And with them, we must seek a clear conscience. We must seek the assurance we've done all that we could to no avail. We must seek to have inner peace with those impossible people that God might make a part of our life. And here in Romans chapter 12, just as we went verse by verse to look at ways that we have peace with each other, peace with all men, there are some things stated here concerning what we're to do with these impossible people. Those people who obviously we're never going to have peace with without the working of God, without a miracle from God. Those that all we can maybe hope for is to have inner peace, leaving them with the Lord. There are some instructions given in this 12th chapter that are essential to having this inner peace with these impossible people. First of all, verse number 14. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. The impossible one that God has brought into your life, the one that no matter how hard you try, you can't have peace with, you can't find peace with, and you've just come to the point where you have to accept the fact that there's always going to be that lack of peace between them. Have inner peace by knowing you've done all that God would require of you, all that is within your ability to do to have peace, committing them and leaving them in the hands of the Lord. But to have that inner peace regarding the impossible person, we must be able to bless them that persecute us. We must ask God's blessings upon that impossible one. He says, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. It is human nature when someone persecutes us for us to curse. But we're not at liberty to do that. Amen. To have a clear conscience with these impossible people that God brings into our life, we must do contrary to nature. Not ask God to curse them, but we must bless them. And that's one of those things, like most things in the Bible, we just cannot do in and of ourselves. We just cannot do naturally. We need the Holy Spirit to help us. But bless those that persecute you. In verse number 17, recompense to no man evil for evil. Don't retaliate. Provide things that are honest in the sight of all men. Recompense no man evil. Well, they did this to me, so I'm okay to do this back to them. No, it doesn't matter what they did unto you. Don't recompense evil for evil. We're not at liberty to do that as God's people. And in order to have this clear conscience of inner peace towards the impossible people that God might bring into our life, we must recompense to no man evil for evil. Verse number 19, dearly beloved, pretty obvious he's talking to Christians. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Avenge not yourselves. Again, nature would have us to avenge ourselves. Nature would have us seek to get even. Nature would have us retaliate. But we're told to do just the opposite. Not to avenge ourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. This thought of giving place unto wrath to me simply means put anger in its place. They're an impossible person. You've done all that you can, and you have to give them up over to the Lord and accept the fact that you're never going to have peace with them without the working of Almighty God. But you can have inner peace, though you're justified in being angry. Though you're justified in that feeling of wrath, put anger in its place. How do we put anger in its place? It means control it. Instead of letting it overtake us, instead of letting it overwhelm us, instead of letting it control us, put it in its place. By the grace of God and through the power of the Holy Spirit, God Himself has said, I will repay. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. So let's just leave it with God. Let's give place unto wrath. Verse number 20. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. You have that inner peace with the impossible one, with that one that no matter what you try, you can't have a peaceable relationship with. You give them over to the Lord, and you maintain that inner peace, a peace with God and a peace that pleases God. If your enemy hunger, your enemy, see, you have enemies, we're going to have enemies. If your enemy hunger, feed him. If your enemy thirst, give him water to drink, give him something to drink. That again goes back to this idea, don't do what comes natural. Don't do what you would instinctively do. But with that impossible one, pray for them. With that impossible one, bless them. With that impossible one, don't avenge yourself. Give place to the devil. With that impossible one, if the opportunity affords you, be a blessing to them. But they don't deserve it. That's not the way of Christ, to do what they deserve. And that thought of, if he hunger, feed him, that can be applied in a lot of different ways. If they find themselves in a need, though they have been your enemy and opposed to you, if they find themselves in need, then be the big enough person to help them in some way. It might be food, it might be drink, it might be need other blessings and provisions. Verse 21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Inner peace with impossible people cause us to make sure we're not overcome by evil. We're not overcome by the way they treat us. We're not overcome by what we feel and the hurt that we experience. We don't let ourselves be overcome of evil. We overcome evil by good, by doing good. Bless those that persecute you. Recompense no man evil for evil. Avenge not yourself. Give place unto wrath. If your enemy hungers or thirsts, feed him. Give him drink. Don't be overcome of evil. Overcome evil with good, by doing good. We're given the duty of living peaceably. We're given the duty of living peaceably with all men to that extent, to that degree. There are those who we will never be able to live peaceably with, who we must choose to keep ourselves separate from. But we must always have inner peace, knowing our conscience is clear before God, knowing that all is well with our soul and all is well between us and Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Just reading verse number 11 in closing. As he brings this second epistle of Corinthians to a close, we bring this message this morning and for the last few weeks to a close. We say with the Apostle Paul, finally, brethren, in closing, farewell. Be perfect, mature, complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Finally, brethren, what's he say there? Live in peace. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. This subject of peace could be many times over a number of messages, because the Bible has much to say about peace. But we're talking about the peace of God, and we're talking about peace with God and how peace is available to us as we come together in the church as the body of Christ. Peace with God and the peace of God is available to those who will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've got to say before I go another step forward, are you saved? Do you have peace with God? Oh, I'll get around to it. You don't have time to get around to it. Today's the day of salvation. Have peace with God. Receive the peace of God. Peace with God today. Let us have peace with each other. We very frivolously talk about unity and harmony and pray for these things. But they're all about having peace. The peace of God and peace with God between each other. And as much as possible between all people. We're to be at peace. And those that God brings into our life that we're never going to have peace with, it's just not going to be a part of the formula. Maintain your inner peace. Always be able to say, all is well between me and my Lord. Though I'll never have a relationship with this one, and I have to give them over to the Lord, all is well. Know the inner peace that is taught, I think, very plainly in this passage of Scripture. Let's stand together.